Blog Talk Radio.
And the 1-1. Sammy drives one. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. I don't believe it.
One ball, two strikes. The pitch. Take. Cubs win the division. Cubs win the division. Cubs win the division.
The 2-1. Swung on. There she goes.
This is Sports Sanity Live. Come and talk sports with us. Join the conversation by calling 347-826-9889. That's 347-826-9889. Join now.
And welcome, everybody, to Sports Sanity. This is your host, E-Rock. I'm going to be joined again by my co-hosts, Alex and Jay, and it is finally here. We are here. It is the World Series preview between the Cubs and the Indians. Even as I'm saying the words, I don't think I'm going to believe it until first pitch happens. I mean, it is such a surreal thing to say, to believe, and to witness. It is, but it's here. Tonight, in less than 3 hours, first pitch will happen. Cubs and Indians, someone's going to have to win it. Obviously, us here at Sports Sanity are hoping for those Cubbies to win. But it all starts tonight, Alex. What are your thoughts heading into a game like this?
Well, you know, the first two rounds, I was, like, really kind of nervous going into game one. But for the World Series, I'm much more, like, excited and kind of calm, which seems kind of funny because, you know, I was really nervous before the Division Series, and I was pretty nervous before the Championship Series. But going to the World Series, I'm just kind of letting this soak in how we're watching a World Series game with the Cubs involved. None of us can say we've seen that before. And, you know, I had that feeling it's like if they do anything less than get the World Series, it would be a huge disappointment. So we want to win more than ever. I mean, let's face it. But at least we can say here we were in the World Series no matter what happened. So it's really an exciting time to be alive right now.
Sorry about that. I disconnected for a second. No, I'm kind of right with you, Alex. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better than how you said it. There's that air of nervousness in those first two rounds. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we were here before and we definitely didn't want to lose again. Now, I'm not saying we're settling for a World Series appearance, but there's that little bit of you're watching history, you're witnessing history, and there's an excitement factor here that no doubt was present in the first two series, but, man, were those nerves skyrocketing high. But this, like, I don't even know how to explain it. Kind of like you said, there's this air of, man, we can sit back, watch this, and relax and enjoy it, which is going to be great. How long we stay relaxed? Probably not too long, but there's at least that sense of it heading into the series. What do you think, Jay? What are your thoughts heading into this one?
I'm just really admiring this moment.
for the as in for the Cubs and then for the Cubs players, it would be kind of weird seeing the Cubs and the Cubs jersey that say World Series on it, or seeing Wrigley Field on the grass that say World Series on it. I feel like it's a good accomplishment for the Cubs and for the city of Chicago that they're doing something that's like this. But heading into the World Series, I feel fine about it. John Lester, Jake Arrieta, and Kyle Hendricks, and then John Lackey, that's a good rotation. If Jake Arrieta can be dominant, like as we've seen last year in the second half or a little bit beginning of this season, the Cleveland Indians haven't really seen Jake Arrieta like that, more so as the NL teams that they've seen him throughout the year, so it'll be a little bit advantage of one Jake Arrieta side. But I feel very well about this series. Definitely looking forward to the Andrew Miller and Chris Bryant matchup.
Yeah, definitely some good about it. I think another interesting thing is the fact that these two teams, obviously it's been all over ESPN, all over the sports stations and everything, but, I mean, these two teams made it, the Indians and the Cubs, and one of these teams is going to walk away with the trophy at the end of the season, at the end of the series. And, you know, the Indians haven't won it for a very long time. The Cubs, as we all know, haven't won it for even longer, but it's just amazing that these two teams are going to match up with each other in this series. I mean, honestly, if the Cubs weren't in it, I don't know how you guys feel, if the Cubs weren't in it, I'd probably root for the Indians. I mean, hey, they haven't won it in a while. You know, good, solid ball club, but Cubs are in it, so I'm hoping they smash the Indians down. But there are some interesting storylines leading off in this World Series, and it all starts, we talked about it last week, but Kyle Schwarber is back. Looking at his injury in April and what it meant and everything, there was almost everybody shot down any sort of return for Kyle Schwarber. And look at this, we're in the World Series, and he is going to come back and not only be on the roster, he is starting tonight designated hitting for the Cubs in the AL Park in Ohio, where he was born and where he debuted last year. What kind of story is that? We'll start with you, Alex. I know me and you, I'm pretty sure you said he was your favorite Cub as well. I know he's my favorite Cub. Tell me, I know we talked a little bit about it last week, like how much of an impact can he really have? He hasn't seen live pitching in a while. But what are your thoughts on this? I mean, what an exciting thing for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I honestly did not expect. I kept saying he's not coming back, he's not coming back. That's absurd. Here he is, and he's batting fifth at the DH. Not playing the field, obviously. You know, that's a good thing for multiple reasons. But here he is, batting in the World Series in Game 1, and it's just like, it's so weird to think about. Like, I'm scratching my head thinking, is this all real? It seems like every possible unbelievable scenario for this team just keeps coming and coming. I mean, it's one thing to be in the World Series, but to also get back a player who tore his ligaments in his knee and come back
right
this season to play in the World Series? I mean, that's amazing. And you heard what he said. I don't know if you did, but I did. I heard what he said in the pregame show, and he was kind of saying, I might cry tonight. And it's just like, wow, you could feel the emotions that he's feeling right now. And it's pretty amazing.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I think you hit it right on the head there. The fact that, you know, this is a guy I talked about a little bit last week. He probably hasn't felt like he's made a big impact this year. He hasn't played. We know how these athletes are. They want to make an impact. They want to say they did something to earn this. And this is just like, this is it. I think he was thinking about this the last couple weeks when the Indians were a chance to be in the World Series, going back to Ohio, playing in that American League ballpark, doing what he needed to do to get here in this situation. And to come back after, you know, 6 months of, you know, a serious injury, it's huge. It really is huge. I hope he can be a factor tonight. I hope he hits a home run. I hope he gets on base, hits whatever. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, like I said, he hasn't seen much of live pitching. What do you think, Jay?
I'm surprised, actually. I wasn't that surprised, but I'm going on the surprise end aside of here. Once they said that Kyle Schwarber was going to the Arizona Fall League and going to take at-bats, I knew that it was going to be some type of speculation in that type of feel right there where he's going to come back or try to come back, because they would not try to force Kyle Schwarber to come back just so he could play for spring training. But when they talked about Arizona Fall League, I knew that he had a chance of coming back. Plus, he will be able to DH in the first couple of games since the AL won the All-Star game. But I feel like what he brings to this lineup is this lineup would be much more deeper, and pitchers cannot try to pitch around Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo to get to the bottom of the order. We've seen that happen in the Dodgers and the Giants series, and that they really didn't happen very well at the end of both of those series. But with Schwarber being in there, with Russell and Baez, it gives those three that different type of lineup once you see when Fowler, Bryant, and Rizzo is up there in the top three. So I feel like this lineup is much more deeper. You cannot pitch around it, and it's a pitcher most worst nightmare. Also, with Contreras that's down there in the batting order, too, this Cubs offense is potent right now. I really can't find a way to see how the Cubs score zero runs against the Cleveland Indians pitchers. Starting pitchers. I should say starting pitchers, not bullpen pitchers, but starting pitchers.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be easy doing that. We'll definitely get into, you know, how the Cubs can score runs here in a little bit. But I'm going to actually take it back here real quick. I just want to get your thoughts on the celebrations, man. I don't know if any Chicago Cub fan didn't have a huge smile on their face watching the Cubs go up to the podium, get that trophy, watching the players, you know, run out onto the field with the W flags, embracing some fans, you know, getting that trophy, getting the job done. I'm not going to lie, for a second there, it almost had a sense of we did it. But then, you know, we got brought back down to earth with the, you know, it's not over yet. There's still four more games. We still got to go out there and win four more times. But the city, Wrigleyville, and everything, I've never seen anything like it. What did you guys think on it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge party everywhere. I was in my hometown, Elmhurst, a western suburb, for those of you who don't know, and I was at a bar with some friends. The bar was completely full. Everyone was going nuts, and people were shooting fireworks off, like, right outside around town. So you saw, excuse me, you saw a lot of fireworks going off in Wrigleyville as well, right behind the scoreboard. I think someone actually, there were only, like, two arrests that night, but one of the arrests was someone shooting off fireworks in Wrigleyville. They were there. They were everywhere. And the streets, you couldn't even see the street or the cement because it was all just covered with people. So, you know, what was really nice was seeing that people were going crazy. People were having fun. But it wasn't to the point where there was, like, riots and property damage. It was a well-behaved, crazy celebration. Like, you couldn't ask for anything better.
And I think that's what a lot of people are worried about, is if these Cubs do win the World Series, people have said, you know, the Chicago Fire 2 is going to happen. And I think, you know, and I mean, look how fast the security went out of the field after they won. I mean, they were out there quick, you know, with fences and this and that. They were out there real fast. So I think it shows that these Cubs fans, us included, aren't as idiotic or dumb as some other fan bases say. I think there's definitely a level of respect that the Cubs fans have for the sport and for the team. And I think it shows, you know, there's going to be some dummies out there that do some dumb things, but you can't judge a whole fan base by that. And I think you're right. You know, being in that, I'm sure you felt it, Alex, being at the bar, just the atmosphere, just being there for the atmosphere had to just make it that much better. I mean, it was amazing. What did you think,
Absolutely.
Jay, about the, yeah, I mean, it just adds to it. What did you think, Jay, about the celebrations and happiness of everything?
I really wasn't there in Chicago, but that is my hometown. I'm usually there around those times. But when I went to a few Cubs games this year and last year, the atmosphere was just amazing, and it was just fun to be around. And if you ever go to a first Cubs game, you will have to go back literally the next week. The fans is nice. They'll buy you beer. They'll buy you hot dog next week, depending on who you're sitting next to. But the atmosphere there is nice. So I'm just thinking on when they won that playoff game with Kyle Hendricks, oh my gosh, the atmosphere had to be very well, especially around Wrigleyville. My auntie texted me, and she stays on 35th and Cottage Grove in Chicago, and that's quite a 20 to 30 minutes away from Wrigleyville. And she said she heard a lot of fireworks and everything from the Chicago Cubs. So that right there definitely explains how big Chicago Cubs mean to Chicago. And people that really don't watch Chicago Cubs was even tweeting about them, giving them thanks and everything. But the Cubs, this year is something different. It's changing a little bit that I feel like the Chicago Cubs, if they win a World Series, it can do some little bit of changing in the city of Chicago as well, too.
Yeah, it's definitely capturing the city by whole. There's no doubt about it. The city is just enamored with this Cubs team. And I can't wait to see the ratings of what this World Series is going to pull in. Will it pull in the same ratings as the Cubs-Red Sox series? Probably not. But just the fact that the Cubs and Indians are in it, it's going to pull in some really, really big numbers. And it's going to be fantastic for baseball. I'm sure baseball is very pleased by it. But, yeah, seeing them win it, I already said I will be in Wrigleyville when they clinch. If they clinch the winning game, I want to be there. I want to be a part of it. I probably won't be able to move more than a couple feet. But, I mean, I pledged I will be there. Like a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I said, when they do win it, I'll make sure I'm there. You know, thank God I'm 21 now so I can enjoy it a little bit more. But it's going to be a blast. So let's hope we get to that point within the next week or so. But let's break down the series, guys. Let's start talking about the Cubs and the Indians series. Both these teams were great. They both won their division the regular season. The Indians won 94 games. The Cubs obviously won 103. Cubs are 7-3 in the playoffs. The Indians have only lost one game this postseason. The Cubs have hit .222, and we've always kind of given them crap for the way they've been hitting this postseason. The Indians are even worse. The Indians have had pretty much zero offense this whole postseason. They are hitting .208, getting on base at a .256 clip, but they're only allowing 1.9 runs per game. 1.9 runs. Their pitching has just been absolutely historic this postseason. There's no other way to put it other than that. Offensively, so far this postseason, it's really been Francisco Lindor and Francisco Lindor. I mean, that's really been it for the Cleveland Indians. What do you think about this matchup coming in? We'll obviously talk about the specifics tonight regarding lineups and stuff. But what were your first thoughts, and what have your thoughts been since on this Cubs versus Indians matchup? We'll start with you, Alex.
Well, you know, you said a really big important thing, how their pitching has kept them going through this postseason. Despite the injuries that they've had, I think one of the biggest notes you have to look at is that Indians bullpen with Andrew Miller is pretty deadly, let's face it. What Andrew Miller has done in the postseason so far has been something of the ages when it comes to relievers. So not going to be an easy task going up against him. Also, you got to take note of the Indians' speed on the bases. They're a very good base-running team. Excuse me. And they know how to swipe bases. They run the base well. They got a lot of speedsters. Facing John Lester tonight, they're going to be, you know, probably laying down more bunts and running much more often with him pitching. So they got to keep their heads up for that. Watch out for Rajay Davis. He's a very underrated and dangerous baseball player. They also have Terry Francona, one of the better managers, probably arguably the best manager of this generation when it comes to winning and whatnot and building up a team like he did with the Indians. We saw his success in Boston. So there's a lot there. But what the Cubs have, personally, I think their lineup themselves, the bats, are better. And I think the starting pitching that the Cubs have just has a little more depth. And that's not really the Indians' fault. The reason for the Indians not having as much is because of the injury. So that's just kind of a unfortunate thing, but if there is one thing I think the Cubs truly have a huge advantage over, that's defense. Cubs defensive runs saved, by far the most in the league. I think the Indians had like a grand total of like 11 defensive runs saved, so like Javier Baez has like pretty much just as many defensive runs saved as like the entire Indians infield. So the defense is definitely a advantage for the Cubs. But there's a lot of things that are neck and neck. Yeah, the Indians have some advantages. Yeah, the Cubs have some advantages. And there's a lot of things kind of going even with them. But, you know, as great as Terry Francona is, Joe Bannon's right there with being a great manager. And both teams have great pieces in their lineup. And both teams have a lot of good pitchers. So it is going to be a very, very entertaining World Series, to say the least.
What are your thoughts on it, Jay?
When I found out, well, of course, everybody knew who was going against who. But after the Cubs won and when I figured out that we were going to be playing the Indians, I said to myself that this is going to be a good matchup, a great matchup, regardless what's the outcome going to be. But I feel like the Cubs is the Cubs have a great edge over their starting pitchers, of course. But one thing that I want the Cubs to do tonight and against Andrew Miller is to be patient at their at bat, especially with Corey Kluber, because he really don't throw the ball in the strike zone really like that. He have batters chasing. And that's the same way with Andrew Miller with his slider. He throw some net sliders. And his strikeouts be outside the zone to have hitters chasing. And I know it's easier to say and harder to do in person, but I feel like if the Cubs can just stick to their game, it'd be perfectly fine and perfectly matched up well for the Cleveland Indians and their pitchers. With the offensive wise for the Cubs, it's nothing that they should be worried about because they had a jump start on that with the Dodgers and they had a two-day rest. And the Cleveland Indians been sitting at home waiting to see which team that they're going to play. So I don't know how their offense is going to play well off sitting home with four-plus or five-plus days waiting to see. But just like what Alex said, Cleveland Indians, they have a plus side on that with the running. One thing that we've seen that the Dodgers did was get a big lead but didn't run. But when the Cleveland Indians, if their runners get on base, when they get a big lead, they're going to run. There's no dancing on the base path or anything like that. They're going to run. But with John Lester having the fastest throwing time for the catchers, I feel like David Ross can get 50% of the runners out depending on who running or not. But John Lester have to make that throw to first base, at least underhand it or do something to make those runners not get a big lead on the first base. But if he can get pretty much get out Francisco Lindor and Jason Kipnis and Mike Napoli, he should be fine with this Cleveland Indians lineup. They haven't been playing well. Mike Napoli haven't been playing well, but he's still a good hitter. Can catch on red hot fire sometimes too.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting matchup. And like I said, you know, the Cubs' offense struggled for as long as it did into the postseason, and the Indians really survived due to their pitching and timely hitting by Lindor. Lindor's hitting .323 in the postseason, 10 hits, couple homers, couple doubles. He's been fantastic for him. Chisenhall's batting .269, and then after that, it's .222, .214, .188, .179, .174, .172, .167. I mean, they haven't hit very well. I mean, Kipnis, Santana, Napoli, these guys are guys that are, you know, in the middle of the order trying to do some big things for them, and they just haven't been able to come up and produce. But Francisco Lindor, who you could arguably say is the best shortstop in baseball, you could honestly make that argument. He's been keeping that offense alive so far. But really the story of the Indians this postseason has been their pitching. And as Alex pointed out, Andrew Miller, 11.2 innings, and he has 21 strikeouts. He's almost averaging 2 strikeouts an inning. I mean, that's amazing. He's yet to give up a run. Cody Helm, the closer, has pitched 7 2/3 innings, 12 strikeouts, has yet to give up a run. Corey Kluber, this postseason, has 3 starts. He's gone 18 1/3, has only given up 2 runs. I mean, this pitching has just been absolutely fantastic for Cleveland. And with the offensive struggles the Cubs had, it really kind of makes you worry a little bit. But at the same time, the Cubs' offense came alive towards the end of the NLCS. So it kind of makes you wonder, who's going to come up and show up tonight? Is it going to be, or this whole series really, is it going to be the Chicago Cubs offense doing just enough to beat the Indians, or are the Indians going to continue what they've done in the postseason and just shut teams down? They beat the 2 best offenses pretty much in baseball. They beat the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. You know, so, I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, there's that. It's definitely not going to be easy. The Red Sox, they shut down. I think they gave up 7 runs in 3 games. And the Blue Jays in 5 games, I think they gave up 8 runs in 5 games. And these are 2 top-quality offenses. When you think of those 2 offenses, you go, yeah, probably 2 of the best offenses, if not the 2 best in baseball. So it's going to be a really, really interesting series which comes alive. But as you guys pointed out, I think when you match up position-wise, by position, you know, group by group, I think the Cubs do have advantages in most areas. I think they have advantages in the starting pitching, although Indians are definitely not shabby. I think Danny Salazar coming back will be huge for them, but at the same time, he hasn't pitched in a while, so what exactly can you get from him? I think that's going to be a big question coming in. Trevor Bauer is dealing with a little bit of an ailment, but I think overall the Cubs do have a better pitching than at least starting rotation than the Indians. And as much press the Indians have gotten for their bullpen, the Cubs' bullpen is pretty damn good, too. I know they struggled a little bit in the postseason. You can't really compare the Indians' postseason to the Cubs' bullpen because, you know, the Indians have just been that good. But the Cubs' bullpen isn't too shabby either. I feel like too many analysts out there are saying if the Indians have a lead in the sixth or seventh inning, call it a game. It's over. Game's over. I'd be nervous, but I wouldn't say it's quite that, you know, confident that with an Indians lead that late, that's just over. You know, I don't quite think that. But like I said, we will see what goes on here. But let's talk about game one, guys. We got John Lester on the mound going against Corey Kluber, ace versus ace. Kluber has won a Cy Young before. He's been absolutely fantastic. Kind of came on a little bit late for the Indians in his career, but he has just been fantastic the last few years. He won the Cy Young in 2014 with a 2.44 ERA, was an all-star this year with a 3.14 ERA, his first all-star appearance. But really the last 3 years, he's been really good for Cleveland. And he's going up against John Lester, who has a terrific postseason ERA and has been in this position before. He's been in the World Series before. This is why the Cubs signed him, for moments like this. We'll talk about the pitching matchup first. What do you guys think is the key for John Lester tonight in going against that Indians lineup?
The key for John Lester is not letting a lot of runners on board, not crowding the bases with that. You've seen him do that a little bit, just a little bit, against the Dodgers, and he seemed to get his way out the jam off that. But if you do that against the Indians, they will run. They will run. And I'm not saying it's going to be automatic because David Ross can just throw them out with a quick tag of Javier Baez. So Indians cannot just run like that. But not 100% of the times that we're going to get them out. But they can run themselves into third, hit a sack fly, and they can hit their run right there or off that by that. But John Lester's keys is to strike out the batters. Not letting them get a lot of home runs. Really, I'm focusing on the Francisco Lindor matchup. He's a left-handed batter, so it really doesn't matter in that term right there. But just getting out Lindor and Jason Kipnis and Mike Napoli, those are the only three batters that I'm really worried about. And those are the keys for John Lester right there, to get those batters out and have them go 0 for something this game in order for the Cubs to win.
Yeah, I mean, kind of what Jay said, to keep the traffic off the bases, that's pretty important, considering that they like to run a lot, and we all know John Lester and his whole thing with the throwing over to the first base. But you've seen what he's done so far in the postseason. Really, if you just keep doing that, you're going to be fine, because, hey, look at it this way. Even if John Lester can't throw the base as well, you still have David Ross who could gun guys down.
Right.
So not all is lost there. But, yeah, just keep the ball down, keep the command of the strike zone, just keep doing what you're doing, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think Alex hit it on the head there. I mean, just do what you've been doing. I mean, we definitely don't have to give advice to Lester. He's been in this situation before. He knows how to get it done. He came up absolutely huge in the NLCS. He knows what he needs to do. And he even, I don't know if you guys saw the interview after the game about after he pitched last about, you know, the runners and them running on him, this and that. I'm sure he gets asked that more than he cared to answer. But you know, he's dealt with it for so many years, I don't think it's an issue. I mean, it's an issue to a point, but it's not necessarily an issue that it affects him winning ball games. I mean, I think they showed that this year with how great he has been. And, you know, you look at it as a whole, David Ross, as Alex mentioned, has saved him many times being able to throw out runners and get the job done. I mean, he's just been able to be that guy for Lester, and I think it's important that that continues tonight. I mean, that's why they have the, you know, the chemistry they have. This could very well be the last time these two players play with each other. Tonight, it could be, based on how the series goes, this could be the very last time baseball sees John Lester and David Ross match up together. So it'll be interesting. There's going to be a lot of storylines going on. It's going to be a fun time. But I think Alex said, you know, keep the ball down. Keep doing what you've been doing all postseason, and everything is going to work out just fine. And I think that's kind of the case here, no doubt about it. My big thing is, Terry Francona managed John Lester early in his career up until the last few years. He knows how to play John Lester, I think. Now, do I think it's going to be a huge, huge factor? No, because the players still have to go out there and produce. But if anybody knows Terry Francona, if anybody knows John Lester, it's Terry Francona. So he might try some trickery. He might try some things. We'll see. Or he might just say, go out there and hit the ball and just get the job done. I don't know. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see early in the game when there's run opportunities, if the Indians do try to lay down a bunt, make him field it, this and that. We'll see what Terry Francona does. Because as Alex mentioned, I go as far as to say I have the two best managers in baseball in this series, Francona and Madden. I mean, before Renteria was hired, Terry Francona was out there. He was available. And I said, the Cubs, you know, that's their guy. That's the Cubs guy. Now, a lot of people would probably say, you're crazy. We got Joe Madden now. True. But back at that time, I said, Terry Francona could be the guy that could lead this team to a World Series. I think, you know, they definitely have the two best managers out there in this series. And it'll be fun to see how they manage the whole series, really. On the opposite end, you got Corey Kluber on the mound. Like I mentioned, he's been great so far. You know, the Cubs need to go out there and attack them. Let's look at this Cubs lineup. Very similar, but there is obviously that huge addition, and there's another one that has gotten a little bit of criticism so far since lineups have been announced. You got Dexter Fowler leading off. I'm sure everyone's seen everything about him being the first African-American to play in the World Series for the Cubs. That's probably a huge honor for him, and, you know, it just shows how long it's been since they've been in it. Chris Bryant will be at third base, batting second. Rizzo at first base, batting third. Zobrist still manning down left field in the cleanup spot. And being in an American League park, we get the DH. And Kyle Schwarber, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is back. He will be DHing for the Cubs tonight. What a huge, huge lift that must mean for him and the team. Javier Baez is going to be batting sixth at second base. Chris Coughlin, interestingly enough, will be getting the start in right field over a Hayward, over a Contreras. He will be batting seventh. Russell 8th, and David Ross 9th. Does anybody have any issues with this lineup? I know Schwarber being back is a very uplifting thing, and, you know, it's exciting to see. I'm very, very excited to see him play, but does anyone have any issues with Schwarber and Coughlin or one of them getting the start?
I wouldn't know how to. I've seen Chris Coughlin play left field a lot, but I really haven't seen him play right field as in defensive purposes, and I know that the Cleveland Indians have some good lefty batters, and I want to know, is his defense good enough for the right field? And to ask my question, probably yes, because Joe Madden wouldn't put him there, but I'm having concerns about his defense in the right field. But other than that, I know the reason why Chris Coughlin was right there. He batted 333, I believe, against Corey Kluber. And Jason Hayward is 0-3 with 2 strikeouts against Corey Kluber. And he's they want to see Jason Hayward break out of his slump. And Joe Madden really don't think it can happen against Corey Kluber. Now he has an ace potential, and he has Madison Bumgarner qualities like in him. But I'm definitely fine with the lineup, keeping Russell at the 8th spot right there. Keeps this lineup truthful to what they say. And Addison Russell, he got out of his slump hitting with the 7th and 8th spot. So, with that being said, I don't have no problems with this lineup. I really thought Schwarber was going to hit 6 or 4, but 5 is definitely a perfect position for Schwarber to have a big Schwarber bomb with 2 men on base or even 1 to get that 2-run or 3-run home run with that. I think he's a big asset to this team. He's like a big key. Even if he's not doing anything, he just inspires the players to do way better with his campaign at that moment.
Yeah, you know, I always say the same thing. Trust Joe Madden. He knows what he's doing. Coughlin, he's been getting on base a lot since coming back with the Cubs. You look at his on-base percentage with the Cubs since coming back. It's really, really good. I think it was pretty clear that Jason Hayward was going to grab some bench after his back continued to struggle in the championship series. So I like the lineup. I think that later in the game, if the Cubs have a lead, they'll put Hayward in there for defensive purposes. And it's great to see Schwarber back. So I'm very happy with the lineup.
Yeah, I just think that the Cubs, they can get to a great start again. Like, we've seen them beat Clayton Kershaw. We've seen them get Madison Bumgarner a no decision, but they gave him a loss in the postseason as well. But everybody thought that game went. But I feel like Corey Kluber, he's like in that type of tire or a second tire down from them pitchers, and I feel like they can beat Clayton Kershaw and get all over him. There's really no stressing about Corey Kluber or Tomlin or Trevor Bayer or Danny Salazar coming back from his injury. I really see no setback on the Cubs for that. I feel like them beating Clayton Kershaw right there was a little victory against the Indians already with Corey Kluber coming as the ace facing John Lester. So I feel like the Cubs can do it against them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think as you guys mentioned, I think, you know, you can't really second-guess Joe Maddon. I think we've learned this in the past, second-guessing Joe Maddon. I've seen so many times on Twitter or whatever, you know, a fan going, oh, man, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And then they'll tweet later, oops, you know, never mind, you know, trust Joe. And I think that really is what it comes down to. When I saw Coughlin in the lineup, it kind of made me think, why? Like, is there a good reason for it? I thought maybe, you know, Zobrist in right, Contreras in left. Is he in there more for his bat? Is he in there more for his defense? Because if he was in there for his defense, I think a Hayward or Almora would be in there. I think Joe showed late in that series in the NLCS that he might have more trust in Almora than he does Hayward. You know, I know we talked about that before the last, you know, pregame show, but it might have come down to that, where he has more trust late in the game or as a starter with his bat and overall game defense offensively, you know, more than he does Hayward. And that's very telling. Now, you know, because someone could argue, well, let's have Zobrist in right and then Contreras in left. You could argue that, and there's no doubt you could argue that. But, you know, Coughlin getting the start, I'm not totally against. As Alex has said, he's been in there before. He's, you know, done very well since he's come back with the Cubs in his role. You know, we'll see how he does, you know, tonight. But overall, the Cubs against Corey Kluber, very, very small sample size, obviously, being an American League pitcher. They only have 41 at-bats against him. Everyone pretty much has 3 at-bats. Fowler has 7. He's 0-7. And the one with the most at-bats is Zobrist because he did play in the American League. He's 1-13 against Kluber. The rest are 0-3, 0-3, 0-3. Coughlin is 1-3 with a double. I don't necessarily think that's why Joe Maddon put him in the lineup. I don't think 3 at-bats is enough to, you know, give him a start over another more quality bat, but he is in there. And Anthony Rizzo is 1-3 with a triple off Kluber. David Ross is 1-3 as well. So they're 4-41 against Kluber with a 98 batting average. Again, super small sample size. There's not really a whole lot to go off there to say that, you know, he shuts down the Cubs. I'm pretty sure he only had the one start against the Cubs to get those numbers. John Lester, on the other hand, has played against Indians in the past, obviously being on the Red Sox. He has a little bit more experience against some of these guys. They have, in total, 157 at-bats against them. And they're actually hitting, as a team, you know, looking at all their numbers, 307 or 306 off John Lester. So some of these guys have hit Lester pretty well. Some notables, obviously, you know, you got Coco Crisp is 2-13. He hasn't done that well. Raji Davis is 14-46. So he's done pretty well so far in his career against Lester. Remember, Lester was, you know, in the American League a while. He's been there. He's done it. So he's seen these guys quite a bit in the past. Some other guys, obviously he's not playing, so I won't even say Michael Brantley. That's a big one for them. You know, Michael Brantley not playing for the Indians, that's a big one. He's arguably, you could say, their best player outside of Lindor. So, some other ones, let's see, some other notables. Mike Napoli is 6-10 with 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. So he's had very good success against Lester. Santana's 4-15. Gomes 4-12. Geyer 2-7. So they've had pretty marginally good success against Lester, but obviously one of the big ones, Michael Brantley, who's done well against him, is not on the team as of now. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they get the job done, what they do, but they have pitched Lester, they have hit off Lester pretty well in his career, but Lester honestly just had the best year of his career. I'm not saying he's a different pitcher, but I don't think he looks at that past success the Indians have had. He's just a competitor. He goes out there and he just gets the job done. He's a fantastic person at doing that. And I'm not really too worried about the Indians' past success riding into it tonight. Tell me, guys, we kind of did this before the Dodgers series. I mean, Lindor obviously might be an obvious answer here, but which player on this Indians team? We talked about Adrian Gonzalez last series, was kind of the main consensus, Seager here and there. Who's the guy on this Indians roster that worries you the most heading into this series?
I think for me, it's – oh, go ahead, Jay.
All right. I'm not really worried about Francisco Lindor tonight, but as you said during the Hurl series, he really didn't really see a lot of Cubs pitches, and said so he really didn't see Arrieta that much either, and he's a nasty pitcher, and nor did he see Kyle Hendricks, and he's another type of pitcher as well, too. So I wouldn't quite say Francisco Lindor, but I will say Mike Napoli, just because it's his experience in the MLB as well, and just because he's a good hitter, and once he's red hot, he's hot. He's a good hitter. So I have Mike Napoli for that purpose right there.
For me, I got to look out for Rajay Davis, because when he gets on, he can steal bases left and right. And he's just a really underrated, dangerous threat. I've seen Rajay Davis kill the White Sox a lot this year and in past years. And I've just seen him do really big things in big moments throughout his career, whether it was with Detroit or with the Indians. So I think that's the guy I really want to look out for, especially tonight against John Lester.
Right. And as much as this team has struggled in the postseason putting up runs, they had some guys that put up some really good numbers last year. Jason Kipnis is honestly – a lot of these Indians don't get talked about too much, but Jason Kipnis is one of the best second basemen in baseball. I mean, the numbers he's put up in his past have been terrific, and he did that again this year. 23 home runs, over 80 RBIs, hit .275. Lindor, obviously, we've talked about before. I think he honestly could very well be said as the best shortstop in baseball. Carlos Santana, 34 homers, 87 RBIs, hit .259, gets on base at a .366 clip. Very, very good hitter for them. Jose Ramirez, like a guy that I think we're going to get to know real soon in this series. Very good season out of him. 11 home runs, 76 RBIs, .312 batting average, had 22 stolen bases. He actually had the best, and I don't know how often you guys look at the stat. I know a lot of, you know, baseball analysts look at it while some fans just think it's the dumbest stat ever. But he actually had the best offensive war out of any of the players on this roster, and a lot of people don't really know about him. You know, a lot of casual baseball fans aren't familiar with Jose Ramirez, but I think he will be batting sixth tonight, playing third base. Very solid young player. You know, he's only 5'9", like 180 pounds, but very, very young player, burst out of the scene this year. Watch out for him. I mean, as Alex mentioned, there's some guys that can steal some bases. Rajay Davis, even though he's a little bit older, at 36 years old, he still stole 43 bases this year. He can run. You know, he can really run. Ramirez had 22 steals. Lindor had 20 steals. Kipnis had 15 steals. And I know we've mentioned this in the past with Lester pitching. Oh, our team's going to test him. Our team's going to test him. I think Francona, if runners get on, he's going to test them. I mean, if it's Kipnis, if it's Lindor, if it's Ramirez, if it's Davis, now whether, you know, they get out or whatever the case may be, I really think Francona is going to try to get in John Lester's head. He's going to try to test him with a guy like Rajay Davis on the mound. There's no doubt that he's going to be taking off. Ramirez, there's no doubt he could probably be taking off. So a lot of these guys, you know, can bring some worry, but honestly, watch out for Jose Ramirez's series. You know, he could definitely make a huge impact on both sides. Great fielder as well. Obviously, if we look at their staff a little bit, like we mentioned, you know, Corey Kluber's just been amazing. If you look at their numbers as a whole, you know, Trevor Bauer, 4.26 ERA, very young player. He was considered one of the top prospects in baseball before making his debut. Josh Tomlin had a 4.4 ERA. I mean, these are two pitchers that really didn't do the best during the regular season and kind of turned it up in the playoffs. As Alex mentioned, this is a team that did deal with a lot of injuries this year. They did. You know, they dealt with a decent amount of injuries. You know, Carlos Carrasco, really known as one of the more underrated great pitchers in baseball, had a 3.32 ERA this year, got hurt, you know, hasn't really been there. He pitched 25 games, and then, you know, Danny Salazar, another guy, injured, will be on the World Series roster last I checked. He had a 3.87 ERA this season. Again, another one of these guys. If I mean, really looking at it, coming into the season, you could, again, arguably say that the Indians had the best rotation in baseball. When you looked at Kluber, Salazar, Carrasco, Bauer, I mean, it could vary. The Mets were probably the obvious choice, but, you know, the Nationals, the Mets, I'd say the Indians are right in that conversation. Salazar only being 26 years old, very young player there. So it's going to be really interesting seeing the matchups and seeing what is able to be done. It really is. But let's hear it, guys. Who's going to be, I know, you know, we've done this each series, so we're going to continue it here. Who will be the MVP for the Cubs in this series?
That's a really good question. I have a feeling Rizzo is going to continue his hitting ways and he's going to be the MVP.
What do you say, Jay?
I had Jason Hayward because I'm feeling for him, and there's a lot of righties in the Indians lineup. He really haven't seen them. They really haven't seen him, but I know they had reports saying that just get the fastball up and in on Hayward. But I had Hayward, but he's not playing in game one, possibly game two or possibly game three. But as of the whole series, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to have I got Kyle Schwarber. This is a story waiting to happen. For a long time, that's going to go down in history, probably. I don't know, but I have a strong feeling about Kyle Schwarber, especially in this game and the games that's coming ahead, hopefully, the next game, his game while he's in Cleveland, because I don't know if they're going to play him in a position where they're in Chicago. But Kyle Schwarber is going to be the MVP of this series.
Yeah,
and
it'll
forget
be kind
about Javier Baez.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'll be interesting to see how you know, will Schwarber even play all three games at DH? Or, the first two. I think that's going to depend on how he looks tonight, but there's no guarantee that he even DHs tomorrow. You know, for example, you know, if they want to match up Hendricks, it is Hendricks starting game two. They're keeping the same rotation, I believe, right?
I'm not.
It's
going to
be Arrieta game two.
It is okay. I thought I saw that. Yeah, so it is Arrieta game two. It'll be interesting to see with Arrieta being so good with Montero, could Montero catch tomorrow and Contreras be the DH? I mean, or do you go with Schwarber again? I mean, Contreras' postseason, as much as I love Schwarber, and I mean, he is my favorite player on this team, Contreras has hit 400 in the playoffs, and it's not a small sample size, 8 for 20, 4 runs, a home run, 4 RBIs. He's done a pretty darn good job. So it makes you really wonder, all right. Right. I mean, Montero's likely going to be matched up with Arrieta. Joe Maddon likes when the catcher is comfortable with the pitcher and vice versa. So seeing Montero start tomorrow is not going to be a big surprise. But now it's like, all right, DH. Do you go Schwarber again? I mean, if he goes 3 for 4 with a home run, probably. But at the same time, you know, if he goes 0 for 4 or maybe 1 for 4, maybe Joe Maddon turns to Contreras tomorrow and makes him the designated hitter. So, again, there's a lot going on, a lot of conversations to be had, a lot of things to look at tonight. I think watching Schwarber play will be a big indication for Maddon on whether to go that route or not. Because, you know, like I said, Contreras has been really good this postseason, and it will be interesting to see if he does get some playing time. Because Montero, as much as we talk about Ross being – last year's personal catcher, Montero really has been Arrieta's personal catcher the last month, month and a half. I mean, Montero has a hit pass.
Contreras really shouldn't complain that much. He's going to be playing game 3 and game 4 possibly with some pitch hitting at that.
Right.
So
moving back to Wrigley, odds are he's going to catch Hendricks, he's going to catch Lackey, so he's going to get his at bats. I'm not saying he's not, but his bat is so valuable, it makes you wonder could he get the DH spot in game 2 as well, with Arrieta on the mound. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting question because obviously the Cubs offense had struggled up until the last two games, and Contreras, along with Baez and Bryant, were the only people kind of really contributing. So we'll see. Overall, I think my MVP is going to be Dexter Fowler. I got a weird feeling, you know, he took off in April. I got a weird feeling he's going to have that type of he's just going to get it going. I think he's going to do a really good job. He's going to get it going. And if they win the series and Dexter Fowler is named World Series MVP, it's going to – I know you talked about it in previous shows, but it's going to be very hard for the Cubs faithful to watch that man walk to another team. I mean, we're going to definitely have a huge Cubs offseason show, you know, free agency show. We're going to be diving all into that. I don't want to get into that here. But if that was the case, that would be pretty tough for the Cubs to watch him walk away. But like I mentioned, Montero's pretty much Arrieta's personal catcher now. Ross is, you know, Lester, and Eric Contreras has pretty much picked up on the other two here in the postseason. So we'll see overall what happens. But what are some, real quick, what are some keys to the series? Obviously, you know, score more runs than the other team, but kind of elaborate on that. What do you guys think are some keys for the Cubs to win this World Series? What are some couple things you can hit on that say the Cubs will win if they do this?
Well, I want to say, just like what you said, Ira, when I've been hearing people saying that the games would be hard to win after 5th or 6th innings and stuff like that, I really don't think that's necessarily true. With just the Cubs offense, that's why I say the Cubs and Indians match up very well together. But when I said that, I'm going to go to this. The Cubs have to score early. And they have to be winning the game for 4 to 5 innings before their 5th or 6th inning comes, because Andrew Miller is a lethal bullpen set for any team, but the Cubs is very well with that. They could just be patient with Andrew Miller, and that's all I'm asking for the Cubs to do. But another thing is, pitching, just like had a pitching. Another thing is Jake Arrieta have to be good again. He has to be himself. He got an ERA of 7 or 6+ in his postseason. But if he could just be good, that's going to be a good thing for the Cubs, because turning over to Jake Arrieta, the series can be 1-0 or the series can be 0-1. And if he continues to pitch how he pitched, it's going to be a bad problem for the Cubs if the series turn over to 0-1. But if he's pitching how he's pitching, then the series is 1-0. It can be a 2-0 series with Kyle Hendricks ready. But that's all for a sunny day and good things for Chicago Cubs. And lastly, another thing is keep up those rally Cubs. Keep up the rally Cubs and keep up those rally helmets and things like that. I want to see the Cubs keep rallying. Really, I don't want to see them down, but if they're down, I want to see them rally against Andrew Miller. I think the Chicago Cubs is the team for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, looking at the pitching matchups, looking at what each team brings, looking at the defense and the offense, I think the biggest thing for the Cubs is they got to take advantage of every scoring opportunity they're going to get, because the Indians' pitching is so good. You know, you can't squander opportunities, and we saw that a lot in the early season of the division series, but the way their offense has woken up a bit, I have more confidence that they can do that with their offense. Also, another big thing is I'd really like to see the Cubs starters go at least 6 innings in each game and kind of take a little pressure off the bullpen, because our bullpen versus their bullpen, 2 very good bullpens, but Cleveland might have an edge in that matchup. So you really want the starters to do what they can do and keep moving forward. Also, we're going to need the guns behind the plate to shut down the running game, because once they get on, they're going to be running. There's going to be no hesitation. There's going to be no half-assed dancing like the Dodgers were doing. They're going to be running. So they got to be prepared for that. Either way, just go out, play, do what you usually do, and, you know, hopefully good things will happen.
Yeah, Alex, I think that's true. I mean, I don't know why teams do this. I mean, you got to think that, like, Lester, for how long he's been around and for how often teams have tried to get in his head, trying to, like, dance on the bases and do all that, I almost feel like Lester almost just, like, laughs in his head. He's like, okay, do that. That's fine. Make yourselves look silly. Do your little fake steals. Do this and that. It doesn't matter. If you steal on me, all right, you steal on me. If I get out of the inning with no runs given up, then now you look stupid. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's very hard to get into Lester's head, but I think it can be done. Excuse me. I think getting into Lester's head is when he makes mistakes. It's not when a runner gets on and, you know, sits there dancing like Alex mentioned. I think, like I said earlier in the show, you know, Francona lays down a bunt and it gets fielded by Lester and he overthrows the first baseman. That's when he might be able to get into his head. When Lester makes those mistakes and it ends up costing runs, I think that's when Lester starts struggling. But just the dancing and, you know, the halfness of it, like Alex pointed out, I really don't think that gets in Lester's head. As he mentioned at the tail end of his last start, he said, as long as I get the runners out, as long as I get the, you know, out of the inning without any runs, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. But it's when he actually makes mistakes, I think it can get into his head. But
right.
I think some keys to the series, like I mentioned at the top of the show, I don't think it's a guaranteed Indians win if they go into the game with or go into the 6th, 7th inning with the lead. But it's definitely not going to be easy for the Cubs to overcome that. I think what a lot of what the Cubs have to do is pretty much what Alex said. Hitting with the runners in scoring position is going to be so key in this series, really for both teams. I mean, if the Cubs have runners at 2nd and 3rd with 0 or 1 outs, and the Indians get out of that inning with no runs scored, we will look at that moment after every single game and say that was where the Cubs messed up, or vice versa for the Indians, that's where the Indians could have won the game. I don't really see, and a lot of analysts say the same thing, I mean, this isn't really a surprise, I don't really see many games having any team score 5 runs. I think most of these games will be won with 3 or 4 runs. You might have the occasional game where a team looked bad and it's 7-1. Okay, granted. But I think most of these games will be tight. They will be 3-2. At the very most, they will be 4-3. Maybe, and this is a maybe, 5-4. I think that we could very well see a lot of 2-1, 1-0, 3-2 games. So hitting with runners in scoring position is going to be so, so crucial. And that's why I think Joe Maddon, given the opportunity, I know he's not a huge small ball guy, but I think, you know, runner at 2nd, nobody out, I could see bunts happening. I could see a lot more bunts in the World Series to get those runners across. And it's definitely going to be a matchup of managers here to see how they get this game done. So there's definitely going to be some interesting things happening. Like we said, who's going to DH game 2? You know, who's going to, you know, start? Is Hayward pretty much relegated to a late inning replacement? That very well could be the case now, honestly. As Alex pointed out, late in the game, 7th, 8th, 9th inning, Cubs have a lead. Yeah, I could see Hayward in the game for defense, but he very well might have played himself into a bench role in the postseason. Next year, $180 million contract, he will probably be the Cubs' everyday right fielder. But right now, when you got to win 4 games and you can bring a championship home to Chicago, he very well might be a late defensive replacement. So a lot of things coming up in this series, guys. I know we are all excited. I know we're ready to roll. So let me hear it. Alex, I know you don't like doing this too much, but how many games does this World Series go and who wins it?
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. I think this World Series is going to go at least 6 games. I can't see it going any less. I think the two teams are too good to go any less than 6 games. But if the Cubs do what they've done, they play good games, like they've done throughout the postseason, and they goes up against the Indians, I think then the Cubs will end their long drought and be World Series champions in 6 games.
What do you think, Jack?
I hate doing it, but that's going to be my hope.
All right.
As I say, 6 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 games.
That's a good one. That's a good one. You know, I'm not going to say 7 games. It's not going to go to 7 games at all. Not going to go to 7 games. That's not what I'm saying happening. But what I do see happening is going to the game 5. And, I know I've been saying 5, but sweep the Cubs a lot. But the Indian starting pitchers is not what everybody think they are. They played against the Boston Red Sox, okay, though. They had good offense, but the bullpen came in early to help them out. And they played Toronto, and their bullpen came in early, too, as well. But the Cubs team is a different breed, and definitely resilient. I definitely can see the Cubs winning in 5 games. I've seen a lot of people say they can sweep them, but I'm going to have it at five games just because it's the World Series. But if the Cubs can get past Kluber with a great offense and things like that, then it's going to be fine for the Cubs.
I think if this whole team was healthy with Brantley, Carrasco, Salazar, and everybody there, the pitching matchups would be very, very close. I mean, the Cubs still might have that teeny bit of an edge, but it'd be close. Now, I think you're right. When is it going to catch up to the Indians taking their starter out in the fourth or fifth inning? We saw with the Dodgers. They kept taking their starters out early, and they even asked Dave Roberts, why did you do that? You know, why did you do that? Terry Francona is a very smart man. He's obviously, like I said, one of the best managers in baseball. Will it catch up to the Indians this World Series of taking that starter out? I mean, Kluber, with him being their ace, you'd like him to go 7 or 8, sure. But for the rest of the staff, if he keeps taking these starters out fourth, fifth inning and turning it to their bullpen, will the bullpen ever implode? If I was to go and tell you Andrew Miller is going to not pitch that great this World Series, you can almost wrap it up for Chicago. He's been that great. When he comes into the game, Indians fans and the Indians team expect perfection. You know, what if for some reason he's not perfect? Okay, well, I guess the Cubs win the series. It's not that simple, but that's the kind of thought process it is. Andrew Miller and Cody Allen have just been that good this postseason. Can they keep doing that? You know, can they just keep doing that? Kluber and Tomlin have been great in the postseason. Bauer, not so much. We'll see exactly how it goes. I think they could very well trade games all the way through. I really do. I think it could be 2-1, 3-2 games. Cubs win, Indians win, Cubs win, Indians win. I'm going to have no fingernails left by the end of this one. I think the Cubs win it in 7, but as long as they win it, I think they get it done. I honestly, with how good these two teams are and how well their two teams are put together, I can't see it finishing in 4 or 5 games. I just don't. Either way, I don't. If it happens, hopefully it's in the Cubs' favor. I will come back on and say, oh, well, I was wrong. Cubs win. I'm happy. But I just, with how good these two teams are and how they match up against each other, I don't see it ending in 4 or 5 games. So I got it in 7, Alex in 6, Jay says 5, but that about does it here at Sports Sanity. We will be back before every World Series game. We'll try to be here. I know some of us might have plans. Some of us might be going out, which is perfectly fine. So I'll keep you updated on that. But expect us before every World Series game around this time. We're very, very excited here at Sports Sanity. And go Cubs, go. First pitch in just 2 hours. So this does it for us at Sports Sanity. This is E-Rock, joined by his co-hosts Alex and Jay, and we wish the Cubs very good luck tonight. Go Cubs, go. They're in the World Series. Here we go.
This is Sports Sanity Live. Come and talk sports. Thanks for listening to Sports Sanity Live. Stay up to date with our program by following us on Twitter at SportsSanityBTR for in-depth news and radio show broadcasting updates.